Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love, the greatest thing in the world. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. He expounds how the spectrum of love has 9 main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. I'm going to be taking the 8th ingredient, guilelessness, thinketh no evil, and through the readings of the Bible and Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy, discuss the aspects of love. First of all, I will tell you what guile is. Guile is deception, trickery, slyness, deviousness. So if you're guileless, you would be trustful and honest and genuine and natural and good. So this is what Drummond has to say on guilelessness. Guilelessness is the grace for suspicious people, and the possession of it is the great secret of personal influence. It is a wonderful thing that here and there in this hard, uncharitable world, there should still be left a few rare souls who think no evil. Love thinketh no evil, inputs no motive, sees the bright side, puts the best construction on every action. What a delightful state of mind to live in. What a stimulus and a benediction even to meet with it for a day. To be trusted is to be saved. And if we try to influence or elevate others, we shall soon see that success is in proportion to their belief of our belief in them. For the respect of another is the first restoration of the self-respect a man has lost. Our ideal of what he is becomes to him the hope and pattern of what he may become. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 93. Happy the man whose heart can rest assured God's goodness ne'er will cease. Each day complete with joy is blessed. God keepeth him in perfect peace. Hymn number 93.
Thank you.
Bible, 1 Corinthians, love is patient and kind, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Matthew, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Daniel, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied, that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man, Daniel, who of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So, at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Psalms, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. 1 Samuel. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord, the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true, for the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you, for I said I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me." And he said to David, "You are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil." Psalms. Whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. John. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me, just as my father knows me and I know the father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Philippians. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Psalms. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Keys of the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper of the harmless. All of God's creatures moving in the harmony of science are harmless, useful, indestructible. A realization of this grand verity was a source of strength to the ancient worthies. It supports Christian healing and enables its possessor to emulate the example of Jesus. And God saw that it was good. Good. God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. Mortal mind, the opposite of God or good. God creates all forms of reality. His thoughts are spiritual realities. So-called mortal mind, being non-existent and consequently not within the range of immortal existence, could not be stimulating deific power, invert the divine creation, and afterwards recreate persons or things upon its own plane, since nothing exists beyond the range of all-inclusive infinity, in which and of which God is the sole creator. Mind, joyous in strength, dwells in the realm of mind. Mind's infinite ideas run and disport themselves. In humility, they climb the heights of holiness. Good must dominate in the thoughts of the healer, or his demonstration is protracted, dangerous, and impossible in science. A wrong motive involves defeat. In the science of mind healing, it is imperative to be honest, for victory rests on the side of immutable right. Honesty is spiritual power. Dishonesty is human weakness, which forfeits divine help. You uncover sin not in order to injure, but in order to bless the corporeal man. And a right motive has its reward. Hidden sin is spiritual wickedness in high places. The masquerader in this science thanks God that there is no evil, yet serves evil in the name of good. Resisting evil, you overcome it and prove its nothingness. Not human platitudes, but divine beatitudes reflect the spiritual light and might which heal the sick. Covering iniquity will prevent prosperity and the ultimate triumph of any cause. Ignorance of the error to be eradicated oftentimes subjects you to its abuse. The heavenly law is broken by trespassing upon man's individual right of self-government. We have no authority in Christian science and no moral right to attempt to influence the thoughts of others, except it be to benefit them. A Christian scientist has enlisted to lessen evil, disease, and death, and he will overcome them by understanding their nothingness and the allness of God. Or good. God is what the scriptures declare him to be, life, truth, love. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love, and love is mind, and mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind. Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. With one Father, even the God, the whole family of man would be brethren. And with one mind, and that God or good, the brotherhood of man would consist of love and truth, and have unity of principle and spiritual power, which constitute divine science. The supposed existence of more than one mind was the basic error of idolatry. This error assumed the loss of spiritual power, the loss of spiritual presence of life as infinite truth without an unlikeness, and the loss of love as ever-present and universal. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only for a select number or for a limited period of time, since all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love. The so-called mystery and miracle which subserve the end of natural good are explained by that love for whose rest the weary ones sigh when needing something more native to their immortal cravings than the history of perpetual evil. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. Tenderness accompanies all the might imparted by Spirit. From love and from the light and harmony, which are the abode of Spirit, only reflections of good can come. All things beautiful and harmless are ideas of mind. Mind creates and multiplies them, and the product must be mental. Comeliness and grace are independent of matter. Being possesses its qualities before they are perceived humanly. Beauty is a thing of life which dwells forever in the eternal mind, reflects the charms of his goodness in expression, form, outline, and color. It is love which paints the petal with myriad hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches the cloud with a bow of beauty, blazons the night with starry gems, and covers earth with loveliness. The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul, to retreat from the belief of pain and pleasure in the body into the unchanging calm and glorious freedom of spiritual harmony. Love never loses sight of loveliness. The understanding of truth and love, the principle which works out the ends of eternal good and destroys both faith in evil and the practice of evil, leads to the discernment of the divine idea. Love must triumph over hate. Love will finally mark the hour of harmony, and spiritualization will follow, for love is spirit. God's spirit dwells in infinite light and harmony, from which emanates the true idea, is never reflected by aught but the good. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn. It's hymn number 374. I'll read the second verse. We thank thee and we bless thee, O Lord of all above, that now thy children know thee as everlasting love. And love is not the author of discord, pain, and fear. O love divine, we thank thee that good alone is here. Hymn number 374. And welcome to all those that have joined us on the call-in line. We're so glad that you were there. I have just one announcement, a reminder of the upcoming Principia Sing that will be this coming Sunday. It will be after church around noon. If you would like to attend, please give Jean Bates at me.com or you can give me a call at 441-8634. That information is out in the foyer if you want to grab that or just tell me tonight. If you wish to attend, I will order enough food for everyone. If you would like also to bring a half a dozen cookies to share for dessert with everyone, please feel free to do that. Invite your friends and family and anyone that would like to attend. Afterwards, there will be a program. There will be activities for young kids to do, art activities, and also the program then will be after the food that is and the sharing that is going on in the basement. We will have the upstairs here with Doug playing the Principia program, and I hope you can all come and join us. It should be a fun time. I guess that's it. Shirley has the microphone. I didn't know which one of you. Shirley has the microphone. If you wish to share anything with us this evening, that'd be great. Make sure you hold it nice and close to your mouth so everyone online can hear and everyone in here in the audience can hear. And if you feel more comfortable staying seated, please feel free to do that.
Thank you for the readings from the desk. I'm so grateful for the lessons and that you put together. And also, well, I said this many times, but the time you take to go and look in the other Bibles and get the other translations of the stories, that's always wonderful to hear. But I'm very grateful for Christian Science and what it has meant to me over the last few weeks. Many know that we've had a struggle at home with our pup, many little struggles along the way, but he's taught me so much. A couple weeks ago, the material picture literally brought me to my knees. I called a practitioner, and that practitioner challenged me greatly. And one of the things that he said that I loved was that animals have no mortal mind. And they are just a reflection of what's in our mortal mind. So we need to deal with it in our mortal mind. Well, that kind of woke me up a little bit. What's going on in my mortal mind that I need to deal with? So, I got to work. We both got to work, and we've been working with different thoughts. And one that was in your lesson tonight, and it's also in this week's Bible lesson, is, now I hope I can quote it, all of God's creatures move in accord with him, are useful, indestructible, and hold it, I missed one, harmless, useful, and indestructible. That was wonderful realization, but it also had more impact on me than I thought that I think it has had on Max. Max is doing much better. But I had an injury to my right ankle when I was 18 years old, when I was running cross country. And I've never let it stop me from doing anything. But it has always been a little stiffer than the other, and it's always caused me a little bit of discomfort from time to time. But after working with some of these things, some of the thoughts from Max, I have more flexibility in that ankle than I have had in years. I mean, in years. And it's absolutely amazing. I've had back issue, and I've always blamed it on my bed for the last 3 or 4 months, and that seemingly is getting much better also. Max doesn't have to have a personal chef anymore. We're able to get the food off of the shelf. So that's been a blessing in itself also. So we still have a ways to go, and I still have a ways to go, but he has made so many tremendous leaps. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment. Oh, one other thing, the funny part was, for the last couple, I'll say year or so, Max has seen a squirrel or a bunny, and he's just looked at it, and that's it. He's just looked at it. The other night when we went for a walk, he saw a squirrel, and he chased it up a tree. I was tickled. I'm sorry. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you. So glad to hear he's doing better.
Squirrel was protected.
Thanks for the readings tonight and the continuing series. This is a perfect lesson for me because I've been dealing with a seeming case of guile this week. My son has had some dental issues the last year, and went to a dentist of his choosing who pretty much took away his savings, $2,000, and had this prognostication of doom with his situation, and another $3,000 dental bill. And he didn't know what to do. And I said, well, can I do some metaphysical prayer? And he said, of course. And so I worked with just the basics, knowing that there was no animal magnetism, power opposed to God. There's no animal to be magnetized, that he is the child of God, and spiritual ideas, not a single element of error within his being. And then from your lesson today, we thank thee, Father, Mother, for blessings, light, and grace, which bid mankind to walk in, you know, even before we ask thee, get the blessings from God. Or he knows our situation. And I did work with this week's lesson as angels in the lesson, and Mrs. Eddy calls of them God's thoughts passing to man, spiritual intuitions, and the very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive love can make an angel entertain unawares. So these are some of the ideas that I was working with, and the thought came to us, you don't have to go to this dentist. Why don't you take a look at the fellow who cleans our teeth every 6 months. We just go in for teeth cleanings, you know, and we have no problems. And we've been going to the office for, I don't know, 20 years, more than that, I guess, to get our teeth cleaned. And so we called, and he was able to work him in first thing the next day. And he needed to get the x-rays from the other dentist. Well, the other dentist wouldn't give our dentist the x-rays, because I think they feared what our dentist would find out. Our dentist examined my son. He said, your teeth are fine. See me next spring, a year from now. So he came home and was just so grateful to God. And he said, on top of that, he took x-rays and he didn't charge me a thing. He didn't charge me a penny. And I said, who does that? I said, this is a demonstration, Ryan. This is a gift. And so we're very grateful for our all-powerful, omnipresent, omnipotent God.
Thank you.
I'm just so lifted up right now because of the readings from the desk tonight. This was food that I really needed tonight. I'm in the middle of a very difficult situation right now today in the last few weeks with a dear, dear friend who is, we are her family. My children, and she's just someone that my husband and I had taught with over the years. But we've been very dear friends for probably 48 years. And last January, I took her to a lawyer to make sure I was power of attorney in case something would happen. I would have the legality to write to be there for her and her will and so forth. So about a month or two ago, I got a call from the emergency room at St. Vincent's that she had had an accident. Minor accident. She was okay, but I needed to go pick her up. So I took all my paperwork with me, showing that I have a power of attorney, and I go in to get her. And another lady came in just a few minutes after we got there and said, "Who are you?" I'm power of attorney. And gave her my name, and she said, "I've never heard of you before in my life." And she says, "I'm her power of attorney." And she said, "We had everything drawn up in April, and ours was drawn up, so it made ours completely null and void." So during the last few weeks, her motives are not good at all, and she's trying to take over her life. And what has happened is my friend will call me all through the day and be hysterical and say, I'm really afraid. I have so much fear." And she knows she needs to leave her home. So I just want to, the third verse of the first hymn, "Dwelling in love that cannot change, from anxious fear man finds release. No more his homeless longings range, God keepeth him in perfect peace." Couldn't be better, and so many of the readings tonight were just right on target. So today I was going to get her, found this lady, went and picked her up early this morning. And took her to the bank and all these places to obviously cover up some of the things that I'm finding out have been very, very dishonest. So I needed all that I heard tonight as I progress through the next week or so. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And her needs are so great right now. And love is what we are using because we love her so much and our motives are pure. So I'm very thankful for Christian Science. I'm thankful for the readings tonight that I really needed. We both did. And guiding us and helping us to listen to take the right steps in the best interest of our friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we're talking about Henry Drummond's The Greatest Thing in the World, and I went to a movie the other night, and it's out, and it's about Mr. Rogers. I don't know how many of you have seen it or not. It's very touching, and I'm easily touched. but it was a beautiful expression on the screen of some of it may have been accurate while some of it may have been a little bit added on to. I don't know all the facts, but the bottom line in that whole movie is it seems to me that if we all lived in accordance with the way things were displayed in that movie, I mean, there would just be so much love being expressed to one another every day, and I just think it was lovely, especially at this time of year, to see something so sweet and demonstrative of the Christ in Hollywood. And it was just a wonderful movie, and I'm so grateful for your lesson tonight and all the other weeks of it, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
The first thing I want to say, of course, is that I really have enjoyed the series. And I even had a chance to talk to you a little bit before we started tonight about guile and that word, and kind of expanded it a little bit for me, and I appreciated that very much. And I sat here Sunday, and I was trying to contemplate what guile and guilelessness was, and I thankfully Gene was able to spend a few minutes with me this morning, or this evening before we started, and I appreciate that. And choice of the hymns, you know, are really nice. And I kind of wanted to speak just briefly to kind of the music overload of this particular month. There's so much beautiful music that's available throughout the year, none more so than in the month of December. And we're so blessed to have so very much of it. There's so much songs, so many beautiful songs I hear from time to time around Christmas that people aren't even aware of. But there's beautiful, meaningful type songs. And we have a opportunity this week, Sunday, with the Prunes Sing to lend our voices to the beautiful songs of Christmas. And that is always very meaningful to me to hear everybody come together and do that. And another thing that's worked out this month for us, we have tremendous soloists in this church. We're so blessed. And with all the beautiful music that we've had, every one of them will have had an opportunity to sing for us this month, and that means a lot to me. That's just it's just kind of like a nice, a fitting kind of finish to 2019, and we are so fortunate. I'm so overwhelmed sometimes by how much talent we have in that capacity here, and everyone is a little different, but what they bring, you know, as far as delivering that message every Sunday is just so meaningful. And And of course, we a week from Sunday, we have the children's program, and sure, looking forward to that, and that's gonna, of course, Gloria is masterminding that, and you know, again, just another example of an opportunity to bring Christmas music into the church this coming, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday. The Lennons and I and half a dozen others, maybe six, seven, eight others, have the opportunity to carol. Gene will be there with us. And again, there's just so many opportunities musically during this month. And the music and the words are so very touching. And it doesn't matter how many times I play them. It doesn't matter how many times, you know, there's, you know, a week ago I played the Corvette Christmas party for the 18th straight year. You know, and I mean, I played, yeah, I mean, all the Christmas carols when I was at Nordstrom, you played them every single day. When I played afternoon teas at the Canterbury Hotel, you played them every single day. This season, wherever you play, you're playing Christmas music, you're playing ambiance, Christmas music. But you know what? I'd honestly, the thought of it and the things that it allows me to kind of work through it and stuff like that, whatever, it makes them new and, the words, though, are always the same, and I just, you know, this month is just unbelievable, and we, again, so very blessed to have had all of our soloists sing, and again, I thank you for your readings and the opportunity to play for this church. It means a great deal to me.
Well, I want to thank you back for the beautiful preludes that you have. I love your Christmas music and the way you put things together, so thank you. And I'm also glad you brought up Dory's thing. I forgot to announce that. A week from this coming Sunday, which is the 22nd, or 21st? 22nd, okay. The 22nd will be a Christmas program that will be run by our Sunday school kids, and it'll be at 2:00. So I hope you can come and join us that afternoon and help join in the Christmas singing. And there'll be the repetition of the Christmas story from the Bible and some readings from Science and Health. So it'll be a very meaningful, uplifting, metaphysical program. So I hope you can make it. Thanks for bringing that up.
Thanks for those readings, Gene. All right, now I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but we had talked about the story of Balaam a little bit before the service. and I just wanted to express a tremendous amount of gratitude for the different Bible commentaries and Bible translations. And the intensity of love that I have for what Mrs. Eddy's done with Science and Health just grows by leaps and bounds, because every time I jump into these stories and actually get just so much more depth to what is actually going on, just aligns so incredibly with what Mrs. Eddy says. I even find the words that she uses in Science and Health align so much with what the deeper meaning of these stories are. So for instance, God, the preserver of man, you know, in this week's lesson, can mean so much, but there is the section about the, you know, this donkey where Balaam, has this interaction with his donkey and this angel. But just so the backstory of it, and if you don't know, I'll just give it, is that the Balak's a king of Moab, and the children of Israel ended up being camped in Moab. And King Balak was not very excited about this. In fact, he was under the impression and that he was going to get removed as king and be overrun by God's chosen people, which they had been doing up until that point, so much so that he reached out to one of the most successful diviners. So Balaam was not a prophet of God. So this is what God, the preserver of man, and Mrs. Eddy brings out so clearly, that even unbeknownst to us, God is caring and speaking to people in ways to protect us that we can't even imagine. And so that's what happened. Balak, and it's funny too, the other thing, from Moab to Pethor, where Balaam lives, is 400 miles, which is a 25-day trip. So that's how much of a celebrity this Balaam guy is, and his ability to cast blessings or cursings on individuals that pay him to do it. And he's quite good at it, and I guess successful. So Balak had sent for Balaam to do this, and what's amazing in the whole story, and that's where it's like, Mrs. Eddy got all this. I mean, you read Science Health, it's so aligned with this idea. Balaam was not behaving in the way he normally behaves. I haven't figured out why that is. Obviously, we know God was communicating to him. And he spoke to Balaam in the first dream that he had. This is before the donkey. There's a series of things that occur that cause Balaam to go with these emissaries that Balak sent to get him and bring him back. But God told him not to go, and so that's what part of this whole journey is. Anyways, I'm not going to get into all of the details other than I was just so overwhelmed with joy and inspiration of how God is always doing that for us. And speaking, and you know, we can't imagine the things that God can do to protect us in so many ways. And it all worked out for the children of Israel. Balaam never was able to curse them, and the whole story of the donkey. And some things about that story too is it was a female donkey. You know, I mean, that story is just unbelievable when you look at some of the Bible commentaries and you have these Bible scholars giving you all the little insights into what was happening in this journey that Balaam took over that 25 days from Pethor or whatever to Moab. It's just spectacular because he was all about money, and the king basically offered him an unlimited amount of money. All you got to do is curse the children of Israel. He wouldn't do it. God was speaking to him, and it was funny. So, it you know, for that temporary period of time, even Balaam, who was not a prophet of God, acted as a prophet of God for the benefit of the children of Israel. So, anyways, I just thought I'd share that. I don't know where it'll go. If you have more questions, you can ask me after. But I was just wanted to express my heartfelt gratitude for how amazing. Obviously, God chose Mary Baker Eddy and her to deliver to us this comforter, this divine science, and how amazing it works in conjunction with the Bible. And it just is tighter and tighter knit as I dig deeper and more into the Bible. It's just more tightly and closely aligned, and it's so wonderful to see that and learn more of that every day. So I'm just so grateful.
Thank you. And thank you all for your testimonies this evening. It's been wonderful. Let's conclude our service by singing Out of the Supplement, hymn number 549. O thou joyful, O thou blessed, O thou grace bringing Christmastide, chaos and darkness yield to the Christ light. Christians sing with joy, in love abide. Hymn number 549.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898, 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.